mein auf den Super Knast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 367. I'm Adam, and you unspeakable abomination. And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Oh, it's you again. Can't say I'm delighted. It's no use pretending.
And Debbie, at long last, Melrose.
How anyone in his proper mind could fall down in a whacking great subsidence like... That's it!
Yes, we're here, just us three, but I don't think it's going to slow down things too much, because Kirby's back.
what are you implying?
It was quite a long show last week. Just imagine how long it would have been if you'd been on it.
I know, and I even gave you some feedback on Facebook, like a couple of errors.
Errors?
Yes, I'm already down 10 points, I believe.
I do love the words that Americans can't pronounce. Error, mirror, murder. It's quite funny. But thank you for that.
What? I can. Error, mirror, murder.
Error, mirror. Right, so this week we're going to be looking at the Sontaran experiment, but because Debbie was absolutely desperate to give us her views of the Ark in Space, we're now going to give her that platform while I set up my video watching facility. Go ahead, Debbie.
Well, I quite enjoyed it. I loved the bubble wrap at last, finally getting to see what everyone was talking about at last. And I just thought the idea was really cool about saving the Earth again, another Ark. We've met Arks before already, but this the great sort of idea that there was another species coming on board, and it was such a nice idea, and I thought it was so cool that they hadn't woken up in time, because that bug species had basically chewed through the alarm clock. I thought that because they ran with that all the way through it, that you should have got up sooner, basically. And I just thought it was just a great setup. It felt like a setup story, though. I didn't know that this next one would follow on straight from it. But I kind of did, obviously, because they left the TARDIS up there. I believe
the entire season goes like this.
It does.
Okay, I'm not used to that yet. Obviously, I am with New Who, but I'm not used to that so much with Classic Who. So I just thought they'd jump straight into another story and just explain why they got the TARDIS back or something, which they have done in the past, but this time it was great to just follow it on into this story that we watch now. But I thought it was, there was some really good acting involved in Ark in Space, and it left me thinking a lot more than a lot of Doctor Who's, because obviously it was all about our survival, the future survival, what would happen if there was some cataclysm that would affect the Earth, and what would happen. Because if you go back to New Who with Christopher Eccleston saying about, you've all worried so much about your future and yet you survived, but there's never been any sort of mention about the fact that humans have sort of got off the Earth and then got back on it, that sort of thing. So I found it quite a thought provoking one. It wasn't over long for me, and
I enjoyed
it. I really actually enjoyed it. I really enjoyed watching it, because I watched it quite slowly and just watched one episode, then a couple of days later another episode, and it was good. I liked it anyway.
So I'm just taking a picture of the screen, because the Garm is currently sat in his usual spot by the front door fretting.
Oh no!
He currently looks like he's got a bit of a one eye situation, because my coat is currently hanging down and obscuring one of his eyes. But there you go.
That's
Garmy. Right then, let's get on with it. It's a Sontaran experiment. I was going to do I was going to do a commentary thing on this particular story, because it's about as long as our reviews normally last. But neither of you can probably have the computer power to actually run simultaneously the video.
I do.
Well, no, you do, but Mrs. R. M. will not. Will you, Mrs. M.?
Well, I can't, but no, that's fine. Go.
So therefore, we'll do it in a normal way.
I have watched it about 2 hours ago, so it's fine.
I'm not going to push anything. Push it. push up, right, it starts with the title sequence. And basically, it leads straight on. So you watch the end of the Ark in Space, and you see them disappear. You watch the beginning of this story and you see them appear. Now, I did...
Master?
Oh, bloody hell.
I didn't get a chance to check this because it's been, what, a month since I watched Dark in Space. Was Sarah wearing the yellow outfit?
Yes.
Was definitely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it was a bit odd that she came out wearing it.
Okay, because now that explains some of her comments in the commentary. Liz Sladen was saying that she had the chance to select her costume for Suntaran Experiment, and they filmed this before Ark in Space. So they must have then retconned her in Ark in Space so she was wearing the proper outfit when they filmed that.
Right. Anyway, so what I did like about the balls that they had to land in were...
They're styrofoam.
That they did really bowling good... Balls. What?
They look like bowling balls.
So they did a really good job of making them look old. I was quite impressed with that.
Yeah, I love that. I never realized that they were styrofoam.
No, I didn't think that.
I was convinced they were bowling balls. I actually thought
they were polystyrene, funny enough. But
yes, they're polystyrene.
Three
picky, picky, picky.
And yeah, so they all arrive eventually, not all at the same time. And Sarah arrives upside down. and the banter between her and Harry is quite delightful. And the doctor.
Only my dignity.
I beg your pardon?
Only my dignity. Yes.
Explain this ground covering that they're walking through.
It's a field.
No, those plants with the flowers.
What plants with the flowers?
What color flowers?
It's
don't know.
Go ahead.
Don't know what they are. I'm not a botanist.
What color are they?
They look like weeds.
Are they yellow flowers?
Bracken? Is it bracken, maybe, perhaps?
It could be ragwort if it's black, if it's yellow.
And the other thing...
It's the low shrubs that, like, she was upside down in the middle of.
Yeah, okay. Bracken.
Bracken, okay. Yeah. We don't have that.
Dear. Never mind. moving away from the 20-megabyte botany podcast, back to Doctor Who, and... So the Doctor is in his element, fiddling around with his sonic screwdriver and the balls while...
Ooh, it's got two settings.
He sort of sends Sarah and Harry away to sort of just explore, because he doesn't think there's anybody else around. On a sort of cinemagraphic note, I was finding, because this is shot on video, which is quite unusual for, outside broadcast of this year. They used to use film quite a lot on outside broadcasts, dramas at the BBC. This was all shot on video outside, and I was finding the lighting quite interesting. There were certain points in which you could see that they had lit them with a synthetic light. So certain elements I found quite interesting. In fact, there's a bit where Harry holds up a twig, and he's looking at it, and you can see the direction of which the synthetic light is coming from, because it casts a shadow on his...
This equipment was normally used... This is the first time they did one using the outside broadcast equipment entirely.
Yeah.
Normally this is stuff used for sports broadcasts.
Yes.
And since they had this entire van filled with all the editing equipment, all of the effects, like when the robot lets go of the wires and it's wound around them, and
that was in reverse,
it's obviously being run backwards.
Yes.
Well, they did that on the fly while filming, because they had, it's sports broadcast stuff. You could do the rewind.
Yeah. Okay.
All of the special effects were done while they were filming during those 7 days.
Good. I'm just saying. I quite like that. I quite like the look of it because of it all being shot on video. So they assume.
I want to visit Hound Tor. This place looks fantastic.
Okay. Well.
Have either of you been there?
No.
It's not that far away.
Oh well. So they soon discover that there are people there sort of watching Sarah, the Doctor, and Harry without their knowledge, and Harry falls down a pit. Amazingly, quite a deep pit. Doesn't hurt himself that much, really. So he's very lucky.
That's because he's Terry Walsh at the time.
Right. Well, Terry Walsh, meanwhile, gets attacked by the robot, and he actually falls down as well. So there's both. He manages to fall down the pit twice.
Yes,
and then
yes,
a third time.
Master, Terry Walsh falls down the same pit three times in this story.
Yeah.
He falls down as Harry. He falls down as his the space guy's, whatever his name was.
Yes.
And he also falls down dressed as the Doctor.
Okay.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, because he stunt doubles for him, doesn't
he? Does,
yes.
The Doctor's got a broken arm. Broken gum. He's having a lie down in the back at the moment. So anybody watching the Facebook feed, all two of you watching the Facebook feed, will see Garmy. What, Garmy hiding in the shadows in the background. So anyway, right. So Sarah decides to go off and get the Doctor, but the Doctor has been discovered. Oh no, he hears a cry. That's all right, because when Terry Walsh falls, he thinks it's Harry, so he goes off to investigate, and then he gets found by the other men he gets shot by them. He gets shot quite a lot in this story.
Yes, he gets shot by them.
Yeah,
with some sort of stun thing.
Yeah. And then Sarah goes back to the circle and finds he's not there. And then she goes searching for him. And then she gets grabbed from behind by this sort of maniac-looking chap had a doggy name. Well, a name a dog could pronounce.
Like Mutt or
Roth.
Something.
Roth.
Yeah, Roth. Yeah.
Mutt. That was Roth.
That particular character in the original script was going to be a caveman type character rather than being just another of this sort.
Okay. So yeah, so she quickly makes friends with Roth while the Doctor makes small talk with the three astronauts who've been here for quite a while, but they're still walking around wearing their astronauts costumes.
It's because they also have all sorts of extra insulating garments underneath that because it was very, very cold.
Okay.
The actor, what's his name?
Don't know.
The actor who played Kranz, Glenn Jones.
Yeah.
He said when they were watching it later on, he said that he looks very plump. And he's not normally plump because he's wearing so much underneath to keep warm.
Yeah, yeah.
And might as well say the Glenn Jones stuff right now.
Yeah.
He was the only person in Classic Who to both act and write for the series.
Yes, dear. Well, I think we already know this, but if you want to say it again, that's fine. Anyway, so, right. So
Glenn Jones was the only person...
Like we said, so this robot-y thing, which I think is quite beautiful.
It's a pretty cool robot, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's a beautiful set. It's not a set, is it? What would you call it? Prop.
Prop, yeah.
Stupid noise, but still, I'll put up with it.
Every once in a while, because of its reflective surfaces, you can see the camera.
Okay, Kirby, thank you. Right, so Sarah and Goth. Sorry, Roth.
Goth. Roth. Sarah and Goth.
Shut up, you. Yes, yeah, so they make friends while the Doctor sort of explains to the three astronauts that he's not from Earth. He is, in fact, he's from Nerva, and of course, Nerva is a big myth to them and don't believe it. That's typical Doctor Who, really. And then eventually, Sarah is able to take the Doctor to where Harry had fallen, but Harry's not there. And then the robot turns up. And ropes them in. I think he had... Oh, yeah, because he was trying to rope in Terry Walsh, but Terry Walsh decided to jump for it. Harry, meanwhile, has climbed up the rock face and found the Sontaran's spaceship. The Doctor had fallen down the where Harry'd fallen. Terry Walsh had. And
yes.
He gets woken up by a load of tears falling on him. Oh, sorry, no, that's that was the 12th Doctor, wasn't it? No, that was just water. And then out walks the Centaur, and of course, the first thing Sarah says is Lynx, because she thinks it's Lynx. Well, it's the same actor.
It's the same costume, same actor.
So yeah, so we get a recap of that and at the beginning of episode 2, and then
Master.
Yes.
This for some reason, and this bothered me when I watched this.
Yeah.
For some reason, this is the only Sontaran, or these two Sontarans that we see in this one, are the only two Sontarans with five fingers rather than three.
Oh yes, I hadn't spotted that. Had you spotted that, Debbie?
No, I did wonder though.
But that's right.
It's not evolution of the.
We did see a close-up of the hand, didn't we?
From this point, in the previous one, he had three fingers, and from here on, they always have three fingers. Mm. This is the only Sontaran story where they have where it has five.
But there you go. Well, thank you.
Yeah, I do like this mask much better than the previous mask.
Yes, darling, it's very good. Right then. So, yeah, then we immediately... get the magnificent work of Kevin Lindsay performing the Sontaran, and
I wish he'd lived longer. He was so great.
He was, and also they probably would have done a few more Sontaran stories had he lived, like you said, had he lived longer. So yeah, he's doing experiments, hence the Sontaran experiment. It should have actually been called the Sontaran experiments. Because he's just...
That's right. Quite a few, isn't he?
Yeah. First one we see, of course, is the dangling man, who's been denied any sustenance at all. And Harry just gives him a wet rag to try and quench his thirst, which is a bit of a shame. Is that general medical practice? If someone's dying of thirst, just give them a damp rag?
Yeah, no.
It's usually, and Doctor Who, they use those to treat sprained ankles and twisted
That's
ankles.
That's right.
Yeah. Magic water, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It wasn't very magic water for this poor chap. So that's right. There's a feeling which the Doctor climbs out of the ravine and said, look behind you, ha ha ha, and it is. And they get roped in, and then Harry... mops the brow. I mean, he wouldn't have much sweat left him to mop, would he, if he was dying of dehydration? And then Sarah has a thing stuck on her head because he's going to test her fear, see how she gets on with fear, because she's never met a woman before, and finds the idea of experimenting on a woman quite a bit of a pervert, really.
Yeah, he was a bit, wouldn't he? He did come across as a bit, well, you'll be interesting.
Yeah.
But then you think about it, and he's just looking at her like a lab rat. So it's like,
Anyway, so Harry tries to rescue her, but there's a force field there. And then we see the Star's boss, basically, who looks a bit like Star, because it is. he's just explaining how far they've got along with his experiments, and because the field marshal he's quite keen to get on with the invasion and of a planet which
get on with it.
Essentially got nine people on it, but he's quite keen to get on with the invasion. But Steyr wants to continue with his torturing and stuff, and the Doctor comes to the rescue of Sarah by blowing up the control panel to the force field. Steyr is delighted that the dangling man's dead, and then he shoots somebody else, and then that's right, because the chap who's the boss, sorry, the commander of the three men, he's been working with Steyr, but so he thinks that Steyr's gonna say, you know, save him, because he's like, I'm gonna kill you all and experiment them on you all, and I'm gonna kill you all, and not me, because I've been helping you. And then we get these really funny sort of 5 p.m. in the evening BBC insults that are sort of bandied around, like, why you stinking lousy swine Vural, and stuff like that, which is quite amusing. So there's a few of these all sort of PC friendly insults, and then of course dangling man's dead, delights Steyr, and the Doctor and Harry come up with a plan, basically. So the Doctor gives Harry this plan. Well, the gravity bar, what would be the use of a gravity bar apart from the experiment he's using? I don't know. Anyway, so he gets his gravity bar.
Now, Master, I believe you passed already where the Doctor has his encounter with Steyr, and the Doctor falls. That is the actual fall where he broke his collarbone.
No, I got maybe. Oh, no, that's when he shot him. When he shoots the Doctor and thinks he's killed him, I didn't realise that. Thank you. Anyway, yeah, I did go quickly past that because
he hasn't shot him yet, has he?
Yeah, he shoots him. He has a conversation with him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he shoots him, and hang on, just after he sort of rescues Sarah, and right. then they have a little scuffle, and then Starr shoots the Doctor, and he thinks he's dead, and then the three men get roped in, and he decides he's going to experiment on them, and then he's happy with the death of the dangling man, and the Doctor then tells Harry of his plan to to get his own back on, what's his name again? Starr. The Doctor, you see him clambering across some cliffs, clearly with his arm in a sling. I think they're trying to make it look like he's carrying his scarf, but his arm's in a sling. Yes. And then we come back to the, like I said, the gravity bar, which I guess I was trying to work out. What...
Although in a lot of cases, when you see the Doctor from the back, they made sure that Terry Walsh, when he was dressed as a Doctor, would also carry the scarf that way. But if you see the Doctor from the back, it's almost certainly Terry Walsh, and if you see his face, obviously it's Tom Baker.
Well done for that one, Kirby. I'm not going to get a ding for that, but well done for working out how to distinguish between Terry Walsh and Tom Baker. Right, so Harry has been sent into the Sontaran spaceship while the Doctor he's going to challenge, what's his name? Starr. He's going to challenge him. Just while Starr's in the middle of trying to see how he can kill the
gravity bar
with the gravity bar on his chest. Why doesn't he just put the gravity bar on the bloke's chest and then turn up the weight on it? Then he'd see instantly how much.
No, he's trying. He's testing both the weight and how much weight the guys can hold.
Okay.
It's a double test.
I did gloss over the bit where Starr kills Roth, and Sarah gets really upset about this. I think Mary would have been quite impressed with Elizabeth Slater's acting on those scenes, to be fair.
I hope that when Mary comes on next time, that she tells us why she doesn't like this story.
Oh, okay. Right, so, like I say, the Doctor challenges Starr to a duel, essentially, which is incredible how he managed that with a broken arm, but he did it. That shows how rubbish Starr is and how good he is.
Master.
Yes.
You realize that most of that fight, they're both stand-ins for the regular actors.
Yep.
Yeah, cause
because
Kevin,
obviously Kevin Lindsay couldn't do the fighting, so that's Stuart Fell.
Yes. Did he? Well.
Yeah. Because he just couldn't carry the weight of it. Was it something to do with his heart or something?
Yes, hence he died of the heart attack.
I was surprised
at how young because you keep interrupting me.
He's like 52 or something.
Yeah, okay. Well, shut up and let me get on. Right, yeah, the idea is to wear Starr out.
It's my job. That's what you pay me
shut
for.
Shut up, to wear Starr out. But what they didn't do in this story was hit him over the probic vent, which I thought was quite interesting. It wasn't used at all in this story.
Mentioned, though.
Yeah, but they didn't use that thing. They just the Doctor just got Harry to take something out of the spaceship, and it blew up, and he deflated.
Yes. And one of the scenes on the DVD menu is of him deflating.
Yeah. And then, of course, he tells some Starr's boss to bugger off. And that's essentially the end of the story. They go back to the little circles and think they're going back to Nerva. But we don't see at the end of the story. They don't actually go back to Nerva. They end up on Skaro. Spoiler. So, right then, Sontaran Experiment is a charming little story. And it is a little story. And I'm ashamed Mandy's not here to say it could be two or three episodes shorter. But I think it's about right. it's a charming thing, and it's a very individual, unique Doctor Who story. Not because it's a two-parter; it's just because it's all shot on location. They've got a fairly big cast for a location shoot of just, two episodes. The story's quite good, paced very well. It's got a reasonable amount of comedy in it. It's got the Sontarans in it. It's just a very, very good Doctor Who story. It is a filler. It was meant as a filler, but I actually think it's a bit underrated myself, this particular tale. Thoroughly enjoy Sontaran. It's a nice thing. If you've got a bit of time, and you haven't got a lot of time, but you want to watch a classic Doctor Who story, it will not kill you to watch Sontaran Experiment. So, yeah, I would recommend this one. It's one of my favourites. In fact, if it could actually be, I'll have to decide later on, this could actually be my favourite story of Tom Baker's first series. Simply because really? I'm not a great fan of Genesis.
Well, I would think Genesis would be.
Yeah.
It's a bit long for me, but I'm not there yet. That's next week. I do like Genesis, but I just think, oh, God, I've got to watch this now. Well, Sontaran Experiment, I can watch it in an hour and done. You know, but... Yeah,
I did it four times in the last week.
Yeah, we don't want to know about what you get up to when. Anyway. So yeah, really, really good stuff. Debbie, what did you think?
Well, obviously it is a filler, but I didn't know it was going to be a filler because I'd never met this one before. So it was really good. I actually watched it with Isla while she was in the bath, and she really enjoyed it. She liked watching the she liked all the action and the fact that it was all outside. So yeah, it's a good story, little story.
I agree.
Basically, yeah, I thought it was a good little story, but I'm glad it wasn't longer because it works as a little filler story, and I just think it was a nice way of seeing how resourceful they could all be individually and then getting them all to team up again. And it was a good way of sort of reinforcing the characters before we obviously go into Genesis. So, yeah, I quite liked it, yeah.
Good. That's what I like to hear. Kirby, what did you think?
I was unsure going into this what I was going to think about it.
Yeah.
How I would like it, because I have not seen this one since 1979, okay. When I saw it in two parts on PBS.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember liking it at the time, but it was probably one of the first stories I saw. I didn't dig out my calendars to double check, but yes, I'm sure I wrote down that I watched it in one days I watched it. But I had heard other podcasts give it a bad review.
That doesn't
sound right, because some people are going, oh, the Sontaran is torturing these people in horrible ways. And I'm thinking, hey, it's a Sontaran. Come on.
This is Sontaran, and it's a science experiment.
Yeah. Makes sense to me.
I really enjoyed this a lot more than I expected to.
Hmm.
And as I said before, I'm fascinated by Hound Tor. I want to visit Hound Tor. I want to see this place. I'd like to go.
I've been near it, but I've never been to it.
What got me, I forgot to mention this, was one of the characters called Arrak, which is obviously the same character name as somebody from Planet of Spiders, if I remember rightly.
And
well, that went off. That went down well.
This is the same landscape and area, obviously, of Hound of the Baskervilles. So that would also make that a fascinating place for me to visit. But yeah, this was just very. I loved it. I loved the length.
Oh,
I loved the banter. It was interesting to see how they hid Tom's broken collarbone. And you really, unless you know what's happened, you really don't notice.
You don't see him favoring it, obviously, you know. It.
Yeah. Except now that you know that it's happened, when he says his couple of lines after he's fallen over, and he's making strained noises like he's in pain, it's because he's in pain.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, this DVD is... it's quite old. It's put out in 2006 when they were just putting it out like every couple of weeks, it seemed like. It has a great special feature on the history of Sontarans as far as classic series, because we had not in the modern series had any Sontarans yet in 2006. It's called Built for War, and it's really an interesting. It's like a 50-minute special, because otherwise this DVD, you wouldn't think there's much in it.
Yeah.
Two episodes. It's two episodes, commentary, info text, and then it's Built for War. thing in a photo gallery.
There you go. Are you done yet?
I could continue.
No, I'd rather you didn't. But yes, all in all, I thought the remit of him doing these experiments on the species that they were considering overcoming, it made sense. They would not look at them as Sontarans. Humans have treated animals appallingly, and still do in some way. So it seemed perfectly correct for him to do what he was doing. Why would he have any compassion? He's not a human. He won't have compassion, will he? Yes. Master. What?
Except for one small problem.
What?
If they were, he's checking this planet out to see if it's worth invading, and they weren't from this planet. They were simply shot down. Mm. They're the only humans on the planet, so
yeah, well,
it doesn't make any sense.
That wasn't silly. Yes. Okay. All right. But I'm saying, the fact that he's experimenting on them.
Yeah.
Made sense.
I'm just being contrary.
Yes, clearly.
Anyway. It's my job.
No, it isn't. Shut up. Right. So, yes. So, all in all, we liked it. Kirby, were you on the show last week? I should remember this. Because I just realised you haven't told us what you thought of the Ark in Space, have you?
Yes, I did.
Oh, via...
Well, I did...
No, shut up. You have done by some sort of message, wasn't it? Shut up. That'll do. Well, then...
Yeah, Mary read it, although she didn't read my quote.
Don't blame her. Well, do your quote then.
Well, no, I didn't have to because Ian did my quote for me.
Great. Okay, right then. Now it's time for feedback. Debbie has now received something similar to what she should have read last week, but Mary managed to deliver it with great ease. So here we go. I'm going to lean back just for a second. And,
must you fart like that?
My fart sounded like that. I'll be
the same time Tom fell over upstairs, I think. You all right, Tom?
Have you got it?
Lots of swearing. Do you need anything? Isla's just offered to rub it for him. I think he's fine. Right.
Have you got it?
Yeah, I got it, yeah.
Go on.
Sorry, I was just listening to hear if I needed to do anything for upstairs. Right. Lynx is chip off the old block or spud you dislike. Dear 20 megabiters, the Sontaran experiment is, of course, a closely studied deconstruction.
I'm sorry, he just cracks me up with that every week.
It's, of course, a closely studied deconstruction of the intellectual bankruptcy of animal testing in scientific experimentation. By substituting human experiments done by an alien, the point is made. The Sontaran's modus operandi in meticulously testing human tolerances is blatantly flawed given the atypical circumstances in which they are carried out, the lack of control subjects and the insufficient care taken in gathering relevant and consistent test subjects. So funny. Their cohort of livestock is not even from same species or time period. The exercise is an unmitigated failure from which the Sontarans draw tenuous conclusions and gain no advantage. It should be noted that although some might suggest that this is a concise and funny short story, it is in fact pretty dull and leaves you in the end feeling somewhat
not.
Especially
if not.
Excuse me, he was boiling up to a nice witty riposte here.
Okay.
It is, in fact, pretty dull and leaves you in the end feeling somewhat deflated, especially if you are a Sontaran.
Nice one.
Good. We also learn that the omnipotent progenitor of the Events in Space Museum ended up in this survey team, who give little sign of being able to do much at all. All in all, the Sontaran experiment is a mediocre filler story, but still has some of the formative chemistry between this excellent TARDIS team. Furthermore, Kevin Lindsay turns in a very creditable performance as the Sontarans once again. It is perhaps two episodes too short, or more likely two episodes too long. Next up, Doctor Who and Genesis of the Time War, the sequel to I, Davros. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Yeah, that's actually quite well read for a change, Deb.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you have to get Tom to fall over next time that you're about to deliver.
It was a bit of a distraction. I do apologise, but there was some wonderful swearing going on, but trying not to swear because of Isla.
Okay. Debbie.
Oh, mm-hmm. For God's sake.
How many times have you watched this?
Once.
Okay.
Literally today.
Okay.
That's better than some people.
I probably will watch it again, to be honest.
I am slightly appalled by some people say, oh, I couldn't watch it.
Yeah,
50 minutes. I didn't watch it until about an hour before we did the show. Still watched it, though.
Yeah, I got home at about 4:30. Isla was already headed into the tub. I just put it on while she was in there. And we watched it while she snorkeled.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Great.
Yay.
The Sontaran Experiment by Baker and Martin. It's not real. It's only in your mind. I watched the Sontaran Experiment today.
You did?
It was on that website. It was mirror image and slightly faster than normal. I suspect both were to pull the bots that search for copyright breaches.
Yes,
the Sarah who led an assault in a medieval castle and captured the Doctor, where is she now? Comic relief Sarah teleports, falls over and injures her fundamental pride. Later she is fastened to a cliff face and tormented. The Sontaran fleet are in orbit around Earth. Hence, Field Major Steyr is able to talk to the fleet in real time.
Mm.
Why do the fleet and Nerva Station ignore each other? Field Major Steyr, inventor of polystyrene. The experiment consists of testing humans to destruction ahead of an invasion. I'm not sure the Sontarans would go to so much trouble before taking over an almost deserted planet.
My point.
My spelling checker suggests I use Sanitarian instead of Sontaran. Well, they do sweep whole planets. Next week, the Doctor is involved in that really tense scene involving two wires.
Cut the blue wire. Red, lads! Cut the red!
No, not that one. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Of course, there was an incident during the Ark in Space in which the Doctor had to put together some cut wires, so it's obviously a theme. Yes. Right then. Was there anything else? Did anybody post a request on the 20 Megabyte Facebook page?
I have not seen any. I'm the only person that commented on my request for comments. One thing I posted, remember I told you I watched this in 1979.
Yeah.
Our PBS stations showed added little narration segments to help Americans understand the story.
Right.
And someone has posted most of those on YouTube, so I included a link to the one for this story.
Okay.
And listening to it, I'm going, boy, this is stupid. Okay. Why did they have to do this?
Well, I'm not quite surprised. I think we have two viewers on the Facebook feed. Nobody's said a thing, not even a hello. Well, cheers, everyone. Right, it's now time...
Well, no, Henry Blackall said hi all.
Well, I didn't see that one. I haven't seen that. It's not coming up on my one.
And Jeff Waddle has said Captain Mainwaring, whatever that means.
Mannering.
What?
Mannering.
Captain Mannering, stupid boy.
Well, what does it mean?
It's the name from Blimmin' Dad's Army. Right then, it's got some comments on the Facebook
page. I'm sorry, I couldn't understand you. What's from what?
Dad's
Army, for goodness sake.
Right, how am I supposed to know that?
Well, you're supposed to be an Anglophile. Right then, Anne-Marie Blackall said... Sorry, Jeff Waddle said Captain Mannering.
Okay.
I don't know who that's referring to specifically. Ian Kirk said his transcript is... I'm not going to read that out because we've just done it, but if anybody wants to read the transcript, it's on the video feed. Anne-Marie Blackall said, hi all. And then she said, I said, hi, lol. So thanks. Sorry for not realising that people had actually... Yes?
How do you see MAINWARING and pronounce it however you pronounced it?
Well, how do you see lieutenant and pronounce it as lieutenant?
I don't. I say, if I see lieutenant, I pronounce it as lieutenant.
It's Mannering.
I'm just not a normal, American for that.
It's Mannering. Isn't it Mannering, Debbie?
Mannering, yeah.
Point for Debbie. Right then, it's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. Oh dear, what's the thing? There it is.
Yeah.
Right, now this is going to be a fascinating USA versus Britain quiz this week. I would guess that Kirby will win. Yeah. But you never know. So, first question. And by the way, it's no, there is jokers. You can play your joker on these, by the way.
But are we going to predict who's going to win?
Shut up. There's jokers and there's bonus pot points, but there's no prediction as to who's going to win because it's obvious who's going to say what. So it's a bit silly, wouldn't it? So, first question goes to Kirby.
Master.
What did Harry feel like on arrival?
A bit like a Morse message.
Yeah.
Should have played Joker.
Where's my note that says...
Debbie?
Yeah?
What were the large silver balls?
I know.
Transmat circle. How?
Kirby knows.
The refractors.
And it accidentally put 11 points in the bonus pot. Right then, bonus pot question. 1 point for this one. The refractors were oscillating, and what else? We've gone very quiet. Well, the answer was ellipsing, so that point stays in the bonus.
Oh, really? Okay.
Right. Yes, it's ellipsing as well. Yeah.
Right. Next question goes to Kirby. What did the doctor tell Sarah to make the most of?
To make the most of? I don't know. Sorry.
Debbie?
The peace and quiet?
Nope. Glorious day was the answer.
Right, it's a glorious day.
Debbie, where did the doctor allude to as to where they were?
He said they were... Oh, I think I might play my joker. I think he says Piccadilly. Yes!
Yes.
Joker very well played on that one. 3 points in the bonus pot for this question. Who played Zake?
See, this is where I don't get these things.
That's not
Terry Walsh.
Is the correct answer. Oops. I think that was fairly obvious, really, that was going to come up, but so I'm a bit disappointed in Kirby.
If like I noted on Facebook, if you ask questions about character names. Mm. Or the color of various objects, that's where you'll lose me.
Okay. Just as well you told me that before I made the questions up, isn't it?
So you'll start making more of those.
Kirby.
Master.
When the doctor heard Zake fall, who did he think it was?
Joker.
Hmm.
Harry.
Is a correct answer.
Of course it is.
You got that name all right then, didn't you? Debbie.
Yes.
What did the doctor leave in the circle?
I know.
Sonic screwdriver.
Yeah, that's correct. Correct. No bonus question points. That's very unusual. Kirby.
Master.
Who undid the doctor's bindings?
Excuse me?
He was bound up with rope. Who undid the rope when he was tied up? Who undid it?
I'm going to guess one of the names. One of the names I remember is Eric.
Oh, nice go. Well done.
You're not very good with names. Debbie.
Yes. Well, I remember Eric and Kranz. I don't remember most of the others.
Never mind. Thank you. Debbie.
Yes.
Who saved Sarah from the robot?
I know.
Pardon, Deb?
Yes.
Roth.
I just said it. That's how
you
know.
You're not very good with these names, are you, apparently, Kirby? Right, then. So, Kirby, this one.
Master.
You won't get this one. Who did Roth say the robot had killed?
I won't get that one. Sorry.
Yes, Debbie?
Heath and Splia or Splia.
Spot on. 1 point in the bonus pot. Who was the leader?
Of the band?
You're funny. Who was the leader of the men on the ship that survived the crash?
Burrell.
Correct.
Too bad we couldn't come up with who's going to win, because Debbie's going to win.
Kirby, I'm going to give up the scores at the end. Kirby, who is your question?
Master?
What did the men call Nerva?
There was a... What did they call it?
I'm asking you.
Did they have a name for it? Okay, go ahead. I'm losing.
The Lost Colony.
Correct.
Because they were talking about it like he was talking about Lost Atlantis, and they were calling it Lost Colony.
Oh, I remember that. Okay, I thought they had a specific name.
No.
No, that was all. Never mind. Debbie.
Yeah.
How long had they been in deep freeze on Nerva?
Oh. Well, it was over 10,000 years because they slept.
Correct.
That was a question for last week.
No, it was also a question for this week, because that was the...
I know. I know.
Right, 1 point in the bonus pot for this. What was Steyr's rank?
God.
Gone very quiet again.
He was a major.
Was he? No, okay, well, that point stays in the bonus pot. The answer was Field Major.
Field Major, yeah.
Next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
What was Steyr's assessment of Roth? Probably won't get this one, because I think it's a very clever question. It's only one word. But what?
Oh, yeah, I know this one.
You know it, do you? Go on then, Kirby. What was Steyr's assessment of Roth?
Moron?
Yay!
Worth waiting for, wasn't it? Right then, Debbie.
Yes.
How many survivors were on... I've lost where I was now. That was Kirby's question. Oh, yeah. That's right. I'm back to where I was. Sorry. How many survivors had come from the Galsec ship? How many survivors?
I know.
Nine?
Yes.
Yay!
Excellent. 1 point in the bonus pot, still. Who did Steyr call...
Is this the bonus?
Yes,
question?
Yes. Yeah. Who did Steyr call on his Skypey machine thing? Didn't come up with a name, but he did actually say something when he called it. What did he say?
Oh, yeah, Marshall.
No. I said he didn't come up with a name, you daft girl.
Okay.
Right, I'm going to have to give you a... Kirby, who did he call? Who did Steyr call on this communication
Field
thing?
Field Marshal, whatever. He had no name.
No. He said, G3 Intelligence, calling G3 Intelligence. Please pay attention to the episodes when you get to watch them.
No, G3 was...
He was G3.
No, that's right. Not what I was looking for. That's not what I was looking for. I was looking... Right.
Yeah, he is the... Yeah, okay, right. Steyr is...
Point deducted for Kirby for arguing, and a point deducted for Debbie for... So, right, right. Yes, it's G3 Intelligence was the answer. Right, so was that a bonus pot question you missed out on again?
Yes.
Okay, so still in there. This is Kirby's question. Which number experiment was Sarah's resistance to fear? What number was that?
7.
Yay.
Correct. Debbie.
Yep.
What was Steyr's first words to the Doctor?
Oh, I think...
very touching, something like that. Hey!
1 point in the bonus pot for this question. Kirby can't believe this. What did Steyr call the Doctor after he shot him?
I know. Is it my question?
It's a bonus
or
pot.
A worm!
Worm.
Correct.
That's going to be one of my quotes if I hadn't come up with a better one.
Okay.
I was going to go for Doctor!
Doctor!
Right then, Kirby. You ready?
Master. Right, Master.
Okay. How long did it take the Hanging Man to die?
I don't know. Give it to Debbie.
Do you know, Deb? Hello?
Was it 5 days?
I'd say you lot weren't paying attention to that bit. No, it was 9 days and 7 hours. Right, Debbie.
Yeah, he did something after 5 days or something.
Yes, Debbie.
Yeah, carry on.
Debbie. Yeah. Your question?
Yep.
How heavy was the gravity bar before he'd switched it on, started pushing the weight up on it?
I know.
40 pounds?
Yes.
And finally, one more question for 2 points in the bonus pot for this. What design was on Steyr's interior door?
I don't have it.
Anybody?
Was it a honeycomb?
Nope, it was just simply 4 yellow diamonds.
I was close.
No, you weren't.
No, you weren't.
Right, so...
Okay, this ought to be interesting.
Without faffing around with who do you think is going to win business, although I think Kirby would have said Debbie and Debbie would have said Kirby, so I think that would have... and vice versa, so really yeah. Would have bounced each other out. In second place with 12 points is Kirby, and the winner this week with 29 points is Debbie. Now, before we get on with Doctor Who news, I just want to talk about a few TV experiences I've had recently with having Netflix and a wider expansion of TV possibilities, which obviously then when you're watching these programs rather restricts your watching or my watching of Doctor Who, unfortunately. But that's something that I have to discipline myself to do. I finally got round to starting to watch Star Trek Discovery. Have to say, it's very good, but it's a sort of slight departure from the way Star Trek normally is. It's a very hard-hitting adult program. Not saying there's swearing or that on it, but it's just... is there?
Yes.
Oh, I haven't noticed that yet. What I will say, it's very dark, but very, very good. And I quite like it. It got me into it very quickly, and Deb sat down and watched it with me for 5 minutes, and she started getting into it, but she decided to go to bed because she knew she was starting to get into it and didn't want to. So, it was it's a departure from Star Trek, but still Star Trek. It's very clever. I really, really liked. I think I've seen the first 3 episodes and just about to watch episode 4. Intriguing as well, I'd say. So I would recommend anybody, any geeks who haven't started watching Discovery yet, try and watch it. Also,
I haven't started watching it yet. However, with Julia out of the house, maybe I'll find time.
Yes, well worth it. It's really
Orville
good.
As well, then.
That's what I was moving on to, Orville. I've watched episode 1 of Orville last night and absolutely loved it. It's hilarious. It's very much in the sort of... What the hell's that?
Something on my phone just went.
All right. It has the feel of Star Trek: The Next Generation. Now, but what we'll say, it's clearly a comedy. It's clearly a bit of a spoof, but the story's really good. So you really do enjoy that feeling that you had for anybody who liked Star Trek: The Next Generation, as I did, that camaraderie among the crew. But what I love about it, I actually find this more real in some ways because of the banter the characters have, because the characters are allowed to be a little bit laddish in some ways, the boys anyway, and just to poke fun at each other. It just feels the characters a bit more real to me in this. Yeah, I love it. I think it's really good. I've only seen the one episode, but I think if you get the first episode and you feel that this is really, really good, I'm fairly confident the rest of the series is also going to be very, very good. So I actually enjoyed Orville more than I did Discovery, but I still think Discovery is worth watching. But yeah, have you watched Orville yet?
No, but Tom loved it.
Did he?
Yeah.
If you wonder what that thump thump is, anybody heard the thump thump? The gas board dug a hole in our road last night.
And I saw that, yeah.
And they've put a great big plastic cover over it. So every time a car goes down our road, they hit the plastic cover and it sounds like somebody's trying to break into the house.
Gunk, you can hear gunk. It down here. You can hear it down here when they do it.
I thought it was somebody knocking on the door. Several times we've got it. Amazingly, Magic hasn't started barking every time. He's actually by the door at the moment, so that's the good thing, because normally any sort of weird sound, he starts shouting fairly quickly. So anyway, I covered Orville and Discovery, quite enjoyed that. I've already mentioned that The Crown is something that we've watched series one of and haven't got into series two yet, and that's another really, really good series as far as Netflix goes. So, yeah, that's about it on my enjoyment of TV shows. We did go and watch The Greatest Showman, is it? I can't
remember what it's called now. Yeah, how was it?
Very, very good. Sort of thing I'd probably want to watch a second time. You know, sometimes you get films you watch, that's your fill of it, you know, but it is worth watching. It's very charming, beautiful.
Yeah, theaters here are starting to have sing-alongs.
Are they? No, it is an excellent film.
Well, Tom really, 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 really rated Paddington 2. He was still laughing about it hours later.
Haven't seen it yet. I'd like to see it, but it's one of those things we're going to have to wait till it comes out on Blu-ray. And bearing in mind...
Yeah, that's what I'm going to wait to see, Paddington 2.
Victoria and Abdul is now on Sky Sky Store, so we've got it on download. It's downloaded on the Sky machine, so we'll watch that. It's not out on Blu-ray.
I should be getting that one on Netflix disc sometime next week.
Yeah.
I'll watch it then.
Yeah,
yeah. I still actually get discs twice a week from Netflix.
Blimey.
You do?
Okay. Yeah, well, as I say, I wanted to see Victoria and Abdul in the cinema. We never got around to doing it. So, obviously, it's done at Osborne House. So, it's one particular, thing that attracts me to watching it. You can walk around Osborne House and you can see the paintings of Abdul there, and it's not interesting to see a depiction of that story, bearing in mind, you know, the story itself is based on fact, because Queen Victoria's children destroyed the relevant diaries after she died, so unfortunately what she would have written doesn't exist, and it's such a shame they did that. And anybody who'd be really interested, like myself, in reading Queen Victoria's diaries, they are online. You can read them for free, but there's a lot of them, and a lot of it is transcripted, because some of her handwriting is quite difficult to read, but it's really worth doing. I just wish they'd bring them out in a book or something, because I'd spend hours reading that stuff like that. But yeah, sorry, I'm just going off on one stuff I find interesting, but there you go. That's what I'm going to report on things you can see in the cinema. I think we already... because Isabella glossed over the Star Wars film, of course, it was over in Christmas as well. So,
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was a good film. What else did we see? We went to see Father's Day 2, is it? Is it Father's Day? The one with, what's his name? The played elf. What's his name now? God, bloody hell.
Father's Day 2, isn't it, or something?
Did I say Father's Day?
Yeah.
Father's Home? Daddy's Home.
Daddy's Home 2.
Yeah, that's a cracking film. And, of course, it has a slight link to The Crown, because and to Shrek, because a certain actor is in all three. I can't remember his name now. He plays Winston Churchill in The Crown. He plays Will Ferrell's dad in Daddy's Home 2. And he plays Lord Farquhar in Shrek. Anybody know him?
John Lithgow.
Well done. You're on fire tonight, Deb.
Yeah. I just go with names.
Right then, so let's move on to Doctor Who news.
The only thing I can remember him really being in, although wasn't he in Third Rock from the Sun?
Yeah.
Yes, amazing in that.
But yeah. Which I've never seen. But that's he also was in the Twilight Zone movie doing the William Shatner
Matthew saying he can come on? Well, it's too late.
Probably. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, that was my text message.
Right.
So I've got to unlock the phone to see.
Oh, yeah, okay. Right then, Doctor Who News. Sorry. Well, there isn't much. The only thing that's been reported is the death of David Fisher.
I know.
He died at the age of 88. Of course, he wrote 4 Doctor Who stories, all starring Tom Baker, and his first contribution to the series came in 1978 when he wrote 2 stories in the Key to Time series. What a great series that was.
Yes.
Stones of Blood.
I can't wait until we actually do the entire Key to Time in sequence.
Yeah.
That is going to be fantastic.
Stones of Blood and Androids of Tara. So, yeah, it's just sad loss.
Master.
Creature from the Pit.
Back to the Santarin experiment. I forgot something.
Oh, God.
I happened to have the Target novelization and started to read it the other day. I had it. I probably bought it in the 79 or 80, somewhere around then. Mm-hmm. And a couple of interesting things about it. First of all, the novelization is written by Ian Martyr, which I always thought was cool.
Yeah.
And secondly, it starts out and they're in the TARDIS.
Oh, right.
And
cool.
The TARDIS lands in that circle.
Oh, right.
And then the TARDIS leaves.
Oh, right, so, okay.
Okay, anyway, back to it.
Yeah. Whoon.co.uk.
Is that whoon.co.uk?
You can buy things like The Eighth Doctor Time War 1, which is a Big Finish audio book series thing. So The Eighth Doctor Time War 1. Oh, it's quite interesting. Sorry, it made me click on it. Oh, it's it's Paul McGann. Then the DWM Special 48, 2018 yearbook, the Ambassadors of Death audiobook, and Aliens Among Us 2 CD about Torchwood. So all those items can be purchased from whoone.co.uk.
Is that whoone.co.uk?
Yeah, that's what I should have said. I said it wrong, obviously. There's also a Doctor Who magazine.
I was glad someone remembered to use my line last week.
Great.
And yes, I listened to that, the last episode.
Splendid. Well done.
My contract.
All right. If you come to the Isle of Wight and go to Ride and go into Who Won the shop, you can actually get your hands on the Mr. Men books. Inform me that Dr. Fifth is imminent. It's coming out soon.
Yes.
That's the one I want.
How much are those to buy?
£6.99 if you want Dr. Tenth Christmas Surprise, or £4.99 if you want Dr. Seventh.
Yeah, I've got all of them, and I've got the others on pre-order. Well, pretty much everyone on pre-order still, but yeah, I've got a fair few now.
Talking about pre-order, you can get the second Doctor story, Big Finish story, that is Wreck of the World, on pre-order, with Kingdom of Lies, a fifth Doctor story, Cricket Men, it's a book where James Goss, it's a missing Doctor Who story by Douglas Adams, apparently.
Yes.
New counter.
It was turned into one of the redos of the Hitchhikers radio series after he died.
Countermeasures 2, Series 7, Volume 1, by Andrew Smith, friend of the show from quite a long time ago. Static by Jonathan Morris. All these are Big Finish stories you can buy from whoone.co.uk. Lavazzi.co.uk. Probably got a sale on. Let's have a look, because it's after Christmas, and I usually do have sales on. That's what we've got. We've got the knitted tie. We've got the Christmas hat. It's sold out of the TARDIS and Daleks Christmas scarf, but you can still get Pandorica open scarf, the Fourth Doctor's tie, which is a tie that looks like the scarf. I got told off the other day with my scarf. I climbed into the car, and we're driving around Aldi's car park, and this woman goes beep beep on a horn. I thought, what is she beeping for? Did I sort of cut her up? Speaks me again. So I climb out the car, and she said, "Your scarf is hanging out of your car. You will choke yourself." It was quite difficult to get choked. Bearing in mind it was jammed in the car door, but nevertheless, I thanked her and got told off by She Who Must Be Obeyed for embarrassing her. So there you go. But Having mentioned that scarf and segueing, you can buy that same scarf on lavazzi.co.uk, but I'd advise you not to trap it in your car door. Try and get it tapped in on your lap or something like that when driving. Right, the TARDIS scarf, similar to one. What did you get? Was it a TARDIS scarf or a Dalek scarf?
I got a TARDIS scarf.
Yeah, so that's probably one you've got. The sold-out umbrellas, this sort of season, they will be sold out of umbrellas. It's not very nice. The Seventh Doctor silk paisley scarf, and I need to get a new one, the Seventh Doctor pullover, the jumper with the question marks on. Mine's a bit worn out. Yes, lavazzi.co.uk, where you can get your Doctor Who stuff. In fact, you used to be able to buy this stuff at the Doctor Who Experience. The Doctor Who Experience is shut. So go to Lavazzi and buy them from there. So there you go. That's our sponsors. There's something else I wanted to mention. Damn, I've forgotten what it was. Got anything to say, Deb? While I try and remember what I had to say.
Oh, just that I'm really, really looking forward to Comic-Con.
Ah, thank you. The Comic-Con. That's what I wanted to talk about. It's well done. Of course, keep that in your mind. So if I forget what I'm going to say, it's always going to be the Comic-Con.
Absolutely. Right, ready when you are.
Updates on Comic-Con. If I can find the relevant page, bear with. It's all widget Comic-Con. There it is. Right, let's see what we've got. So there's been a few announcements over the weekend. There's a big one that upset Deb, actually, because it says Video Ops. Now, Deb is the video op that particular they're referring to. And I went to all the trouble of putting a studio up in my house on Saturday to take a picture of her to post on this thing, and he didn't use it.
Oh, no.
So, yes, basically, it's a new idea. Well, Ben thinks it's a new idea. Running alongside the photo ops, you will have a chance to have a video, a 30-second video with your star. Now, Sylvester McCoy has signed up for this particular thing. It will cost you, obviously, but there are rules that you can and can't do in regards to the photo ops, video ops, but it should still be fun. Basically, the idea is you get you can either get your celeb to do a direct message on video to a friend or whatever, or you can get on the video with them and do something to camera, or, you know, anything that's not listed among the can't do's, because there is a list of can't do's, but it still should be fun. So a few of some aren't. I know Sean Astin says it's a really good idea, but he's not up for it on this occasion, but I think he's going to see how it goes off before they perhaps try another convention. So that's the one that's obviously I'm talking about, because it's connected to my own business. So I think as APV Services actually runs this podcast and also runs the 20 megabyte podcast, which therefore runs the Doctor Who Zone at the convention. You know about the Doctor Who Zone, don't you, Deb?
Oh, yes.
Okay, right. It has to be mentioned the fact that APV Services is also running the video ops. So, also, a guest announcement is that Jason Narvi and Paul Scherrier from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Jason Narvi played Skull and Paul Scherrier played Bulk. I didn't actually watch that program myself, but Debbie's yaying, so I presume she did.
I watch it a lot with Isla.
Somebody also posted the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers TV show intro, which probably has them in it, a clip from YouTube. There's the Gaming Zone been announced as well, to run alongside the Doctor Who Zone that we talked about earlier.
Oh,
Cyber Jam are an official sponsor, and Azar, the PC consultants, and it says a double guest. Oh yeah, we talked about the double guest thingy, wasn't that? Was the announcement of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. But we also have they've got these things called Island Con Indies, which are independent filmmakers. Is that right, Deb?
Yes.
Yeah, like Jessica Messenger. Try say that if you're drunk. Jessica Messenger. She's a filmmaker. If you go to the Island Con 2018 Facebook page, there's quite a lot of information about things that are happening. So Isle of Wight Comic Con or Island Con 2018 Facebook page. Valerie Leon, legend. I said to Deb about Valerie Leon. She didn't know who she was. So I said, don't you remember all the blooming adverts with the sexy women in the 70s, specifically aftershave adverts? Valerie Leon was in those, and she couldn't remember them. You can't remember either, because you're even younger than Deb, aren't you, Deb? Can you remember
I can't remember them.
But do you remember Valerie Leon?
I think so, yeah.
Do you remember the film called Carry On, the jungle one? Where they get lost in the jungle. And there was a tribe of women.
Yes.
Pretty sure she's one of the women in that tribe, one of the prominent ones.
Isn't she like the leader?
I think she is. But and she's been a Bond girl twice.
Yeah, she was in Shaun of the Dead and things like that.
Probably when she was a bit older. But yeah, she's a bit of a British sort of Hammer film, Carry On film legend. So that's quite good. She doesn't look like that anymore. It's easy to point out. So another indie person is Amelie Leroy, who's worked on... I was reading this little bit of blurb earlier on. She's actually quite a good... Got a good sort of list of things she's done. Now I'm trying to read it. Descent, Dog Soldiers, Hellboy, stuff like that. Grace and Mercy, blah blah. Yeah, you probably know her better than I do, Deb. But she's got a good list of stuff she's done. Anyway, somebody called Des O'Gorman. Do you remember Des O'Gorman, Deb? He was the host along with Alex Watson last year. So if you went to watch any of the talks,
the
Irish chap who always goes cosplaying as a Ghostbuster.
He's a brilliant.
Massive Ghostbuster fan. He's back and he's very funny. And somebody called Sean Astin.
Oh, never heard of him.
Tom is very keen to have us all cosplay, me, him and Isla cosplay to meet Sean Astin.
I think I might have to do a video with Sean Astin, but I bet I won't. Oh, he's not doing the videos. Damn, I'll have to get a picture with him.
Hopefully you'll be able to get some sort of access to him.
Beg your pardon?
We'll see.
Also, there's been guests announced such as Michael Eklund, who was Into the Forest Zoo, Mr. Wright, The Call, Errors of the Human Body, and those of other bits and bobs. He's been Wynonia Earp. Is that does he play Wynonia Earp? Is that right?
No idea what Wynonia Earp is.
He was in Bates Motel. Anything like that? You know that one?
No.
What about Joseph Pantolini? How about Joseph Pantolanio?
I recognise that name,
yes,
Tom.
Well, he was in Matrix, Sopranos, Goonies, Memento Bound, Bad Boys 2, Daredevil, Fugitive, Risky Business, and so much more.
Yeah.
You know him now, do you?
Yes. Yeah.
I think Goonies, he was a kid.
He wasn't. He was one of the Fratelli brothers.
How was he?
He was the guy with the glasses and the hairpiece.
Oh, okay. And somebody called Sylvester McCoy, also been announced. Somebody called John Davey has also been announced. Friends of the show. So I won't be speaking to them because already they've been on the show. And for me, exciting is Ethan Phillips because... Star Trek Voyager is one of my favourite series on TV ever, and there's a particular episode of Star Trek Voyager which always sticks in my mind. It's the one where Tuvok and Neelix become one, and the character isn't actually played by Ethan Phillips or the chap who plays Tuvok, because it's a new person is created by the transporter malfunction.
I remember that one.
And Ethan Phillips played Neelix, one of my favorite characters of Star Trek ever.
You'll still have to, going back to Sylvester, you'll still have to talk to him, remind him of the time that we interviewed him in Huntsville.
Well, just so he can forget it again.
Yes.
Okay. So that's it, the Island Con. It's 10 months away. No, it's 9 months away, actually. 9 months away, and it can't come soon enough, can it, Deb?
No.
Okay. Now remember, if they want a weird American as a guest...
There's plenty
I'm available.
A weird American as a guest. We can't invite over 5 billion Americans, Kirby. Right, we're talking about weird Americans. There's a brilliant program on TV at the moment, Deb, called... I don't know what it's called, but it's where Miriam Margolyes is basically driving around America meeting people and discussing the American dream and what each individual American's idea of the American dream is. And it's a really, really interesting program. And she's gone over there all sceptical and sort of quite negative towards Americans. And she starts meeting some of them, and she's actually having some really life-changing, moving experiences. And it's really, really good. She went into this female penitentiary, and just noted that the Americans do like to lock up their villains, to be fair, even if their villains are quite petty. But she goes in there and she meets these girls who are banged up basically for being drug addicts, but they're really nice people, and she leaves the prison at the same time as this young 20-year-old girl, pretty girl, comes out, and she just starts crying because she says, "No, don't come back here, don't come back here." And she meets her mum and dad and her sister, and I'd watch it if you can. It's really worth watching. Miriam Margolyes in herself is a very funny lady, naturally funny. It doesn't mean to be, just is. Just because she's old and set in her ways, but it's just so watchable. Brilliant program. I like documentaries like that. So yeah, if you get a chance to watch that, I wish I could tell you what it's called, but I can't. Just look up Miriam Margolyes and American sort of tour.
I wonder if there's any way that we Americans can watch it.
Shall I look it up? I know this is a 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, but I'll see if I'm on.
Master, speaking of Doctor Who, we've had some feedback on the feedback thread for Sontaran Experiment.
Oh, go on then. You read that while I sort out
It's from Paul.
Is it? Oh, go on then.
Yes, he says, "It's fine, never a classic, but fun little filler, a palate cleanser before the main course."
Brilliant. Thank you, Paul. That's at least somebody's listening to the show. right, so it's called... what's it called? Miriam's... Oh, good grief. Miriam's Big American Adventure. That's what it's called.
Miriam's Big American Adventure.
And I think it's on BBC, so you might get to see it. Well, look it up. Well, yeah, somebody might have done a streaming of it from somewhere. She actually come quite near where you were, which might be in the next episode. She might know. She just went through. Where was that place you used to stay and work? It's a big state.
Nashville,
Tennessee.
Yes.
Possibly, I can't remember. She's around that neck of the woods, and then she went. She sort of went off down to this place.
Oh, it looks like someone has been posting them on YouTube.
They're worth watching. But it's just that the people she's speaking to are not people that we generally see in Britain. They're just normal Americans, all with their different sort of idealisms and stuff like that. It's just fascinating. It's like she went on a summer camp with some.
Yeah, they went off to do like the something hotel, Marigold Hotel.
That's a different program. Yeah, that's a different program. But yeah, she was in that.
Yeah, but she did another one where they went off to.
Oh, that now I know who you're talking about.
Everybody in the program calls her Professor because she played Professor Sprout. But I remember mainly from Blackadder playing the Lady Whiteadder.
Appears
to be wearing a pair of devil's dumplings.
I remember her more for the Spanish Infanta.
Oh yeah, she was brilliant, the Spanish Infanta. She's funny. If you can watch that, great. I filled that gap really, really nicely because, of course, we haven't got any Doctor Who. Right, there's a 6-part story we're doing next. It's called The Genesis of the Daleks. Now, I'm thinking that because you lot were so rubbish in trying to watch a 2-part story, that it might be a good idea, perhaps... doing it on the 28th.
I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do much watching.
28th of January.
I might be back in Cardiff by then. I should be.
Hopefully so.
You're going to Cardiff?
Yes.
Don't get too excited. That you can't get access to the studios or anything.
No, I can't. I'm going down with work. Sorry.
I'm just saying. Kirby got excited because you mentioned Cardiff, probably because he thinks you can go and do some Doctor Who stuff. But as you can't get,
you can do. Even though the museum's closed, there's still plenty of things you can see.
There is.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll have time to.
If you do get time, can I suggest, Debbie, that you go to Penarth, find Archer Road, and knock on every single house down Archer Road. One of them will be a house containing a person called Jodie Whittaker.
I don't know if they'll give me time to do anything.
Okay, so the 28th, you said the 28th, correct?
28th of January. Yes. I haven't got a bridal show to do that day, but I'm fairly sure I can do that and do a podcast. So that's only because you lot are rubbish. You can't even watch a 2-part story in 2 weeks.
I watched the 2-part story 4 times in 2 weeks, in 1 week.
There's no competition. But there you go. So that's when we're going to do it.
And we've done this one before. Let's see. We did this one in 2014, almost exactly 4 years ago, Adam, Matthew, Robert, Reese, Mary, and me.
Okay. I wonder if I've got questions on it then.
No, Debbie. So this will be a first.
I've not seen this one.
What?
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 When did you say we did it?
You've never seen one of the...
I've got a quiz on it. I've already got questions on it. Woohoo!
I've seen some of it. I've not seen it all the way through.
Oh, all I have to do is watch it. But I don't have to write questions on it.
It is still up there. So
one of the best, if not the best, Doctor Who story of all time.
It is one of the best. I'm not saying it isn't, but my as far as favourite ones go, I quite like Sontaran Experiment because it's little and you can watch it quickly. So there we go. So
Genesis has the its only problem is a stupid giant clam.
Hey,
the giant clam.
Oh yes, the giant clam where somebody gets their foot stuck in it.
Harry.
You like that bit, don't you?
Really? Oh god.
You'll see. You'll
That's
see.
Brilliant. Yeah,
That's
okay.
Made of polystyrene as well, Kirby, just so to get you, you know.
Excuse me?
That's made of polystyrene, the clam that you're talking of. Not,
probably.
Not styrofoam.
What a brilliant idea, though. I like okay. it.
So, oh, well, you posted something that says, while watching the Sontaran experiment again with the info text on, I've added a bit of info text of my own.
Oh, you didn't see that?
The DVD was created in 2006
that.
And also... So although Gatiss had written the show for the show by this time this DVD came out, he wouldn't act in the show until the next year. Glyn Jones, by the way, wrote Space Museum, Gatiss... acting in various Doctor Who night sketches in 1999, from which I nicked the picture, don't count as they are not canon.
If you look at the picture, I took screenshots of the info text, which point out that Glyn Jones is both an actor and a writer, and it said in that info text,
yes.
He's the only person to have worked on Doctor Who in both
capacities.
You did
say this earlier, darling, so I'll shut you up for that moment.
Yeah.
Dinos Daniel is shut up.
And so,
never mind. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Kirby. Doesn't matter. Thank you. Dinos Daniel has met Katie Manning.
Yeah.
And she's
and
got.
And Katie Manning does hugs.
She's got her clothes on.
and Dinos doesn't look like a Dalek though.
It's Dinos, by the way, not Dinos. He's not a blooming yeah, he's not Greek. Ryan, yeah, that's about it, really. I've covered every angle for the show this week. So next week, nothing. The week after, Genesis of the Daleks, and it is going to be on then, and unless something disastrous happens, I'll have to postpone it for another week. Yeah, that's about it. And thanks, you guys, for bothering to turn up this week, especially you, Debbie, who can't be bothered to turn up most weeks.
I can't believe that Andy couldn't even watch it during ironing like he usually does.
Yes. Well, I know why he's done it, though, because he knows he has to be sober for these episodes, and I think he rather objects to that. So, until 2 weeks' time, thank you for listening, stroke watching the show. Oh, well, for those of you that did. You're laughing at. Look at the Garmy. Garmy sat behind me there, sat like the Sphinx in the corner by the door, actually behaving himself for once. So, until then, enjoy your Doctor Who. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants. I'm glad someone said that last week, too.
That would be me.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.